Why can't dragons crochet?
They don't have thumbs.
They're magic.
They, I was saying, yeah, they got magic. They don't have to fucking like use thumbs to crochet.
Listen, no, I don't think fucking thumbs. Blue Eyes White Dragon's ice magic is going to help him crochet.
I'm finding a picture. He has a thumb.
Is it an opposable thumb?
You no, just
said thumb. I think
it's
it is.
A proposable thumb.
All right, now that's an Thank interesting you, concept.
Wait, did you just right, say a disposable is. Thumb?
Ha! He has a fucking thumb. I knew it.
That doesn't make it an opposable thumb.
You don't know.
I have thumbs and I can't crochet.
That's true. No, that was a point against you.
Thank you, Scott, for destroying my argument. No problem, Diana. Anytime.
Anytime.
Anytime. I mean, that's what you're here for. Ugh. Shoot. How do I...
I don't know. You're the one doing
it. I mean,
it.
To be fair, Carter has thumbs and knits, but, like, still tries.
I don't use my thumbs to knit. Use my toes.
There we go. Thumbs.
Those aren't thumbs?
Those look opposable. Those are opposable thumb spikes.
That's a dragon, not a thumb.
God, he does look like a thumb, though. Look at his head.
He looks... That's not what I was going
to
say.
I know. I was trying to PC... Not PC. I was trying to clean it up.
It looks a lot different than I remember. He's got like a really weird-ass looking neck.
Yeah, he does look kind of goofy. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh didn't age well, huh?
Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table, a podcast where some of the people that I've met before in my life get on Discord and annoy me for 30 minutes to 1 hour. Then we edit it together and post it on the internet. Today, I have no idea what we're doing. Carter, take us away.
Same.
Okay, all right. Well, today we're doing sort of a not game of the year, not video of the year, but like just culture of the year. It's just like essentially things that came out this year that we thought were good as hell and wanted to talk about. I've got like a bunch of stuff that I really enjoyed this year that I want to recommend to people. It's our recommendations podcast. I think that's really what this is.
Yeah. Oh, wait, but before we get started, what was everybody's favorite Christmas gift this year? Or non-denominational holiday gift this year?
Silence.
That was my favorite gift this year. The gift of not having to hear things for while I slept. Because I was at my father's house, and he lives in the middle of the woods.
That's very nice. I like your dad's house.
My dad's house is
it
great.
It is a nice house.
Scott's gift was also silence. He was at my dad's house, too.
I mean, I did like our podcast swag. That's up there. But, The combined gift of I got a bunch of sweaters and scarves for Christmas is top tier.
That's good
shit.
Because
it's, like, 20 out right now.
Uh-huh.
I love that you just got a whole new winter wardrobe for Christmas.
Shout out to Diana for knitting me a blanket that is shaped kind of like a scarf.
I was really pleased with that one. I don't know. I really enjoyed the podcast swag. I really liked Scott's jacket. That's one of my new favorite things that I've gotten a lot of compliments from work on it, and I'm so pleased that everybody got what it was supposed to be. I will say, though, my mom did get me the coolest jersey for the London Spitfire team, and it looks so cool. I'll have to send a picture. It looks real good.
Yeah, I guess we should post our podcast t-shirts too, huh?
Do we want to start with best movie of the year?
Sure.
I have a best movie? Okay.
Let's kick it.
Who goes first?
Rock, paper,
I'll
scissors.
I'll go first. So, my favorite movie... So, just a rundown of the top movies that came out this year for me. Black Panther came out this year, y'all.
Yeah.
Or last year.
So good.
That was a long-ass time ago. Incredibles 2 came out this year. Don't forget that one. That one almost slipped
that.
Under the radar for me. And then the new Spider-Man movie, Into the Spider-Verse. That one's a banger.
The soundtrack is so good.
Yep. Let's see. What are some of the other ones that came out this year? Infinity War came out this year.
I haven't seen any of the movies you've mentioned so far.
Bruh. You haven't seen Infinity Wars?
This is a known fact of this channel.
No, it's not.
At this point, it's deliberate.
At this point, I don't know where to watch it.
It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
On your TV.
Yeah, right now. Yes. It was up like a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Okay, Scott, just watch it right now while we're podcasting.
All right, what other movies came out this year, y'all? I see like one
Crazy
movie
Rich
a year.
Asians.
That's right,
that's
that did come out.
Movie of the year. It's so good.
I have like a least favorite movie I saw last year that I'll get to when you guys are done with favorites.
I just wanted to list movies that came out this year, and then we'll go into the favorites. I haven't listed favorite. Number one, numero uno.
I think what I've only seen two movies this year, like in theaters.
I saw three, so. Oh, no, Deadpool 2 came out this year.
Okay, shit, so I've seen three.
That came out, yep.
Really?
I haven't seen that one either.
This year. Damn, that's a good movie.
What the fuck even was 2018? Like,
I saw Princess Mononoke in theaters, but I don't think that counts.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
It did come out in the 80s. I don't know, what else came out this year? I saw a bunch of movies at, like, our Richmond Theater
Aquaman
that shows all the
Aquaman was pretty good.
Right, Jason Momoa stare at him for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wait, Aquaman
yeah.
came out? I thought
we
that
do.
Was still like wait, nope. When did that come out?
Aquaman is out. That was pretty good.
That was recent.
We also have the new Mary Poppins.
Did
we
that come out?
Wait, when did all of these things come out other than last year?
They definitely oh shoot, did Mary Poppins just come out like this week? I thought it was out in 2018.
Fuck if I know.
It's close.
You have the Google.
If you watched it, we'll do it.
Look, a lot of great movies came out this year, guys. You'll notice a lot of the ones we mentioned are superhero movies.
That's just kind of how the world works in this year of our Lord 2018.
That's just how the squad rolls.
Oh, come on. Mary Poppins came out December 19th of 2018.
Ha! God. I was right.
I loved it when she was in Infinity War and just bopped Thanos on the head with her umbrella. God,
and then
that
just,
was so
like,
good.
Pushed him in the like in her purse. Yeah, that was
yeah,
great.
It was
All
so
right,
good.
Carter, tell us your favorite movie.
Oh, my favorite movie is hands down Into the Spider-Verse. It's just so good.
Yeah, why?
Well, first of all, the writer for it, Brian Michael Bendis, or the writer for Miles Morales, like the writer who created him, Brian Michael Bendis, is a very good writer. He's done a lot of stuff which I don't know off the top of my head. He's very good. He actually had a couple of nods to him in the movie, a lot like Stanley does in a lot of the movies as well. The art style was really good, and at first I was a little put off because a lot of the deeper, like a lot of stuff that's outside of the field of view or very deep into the scene is like very blurry, and I thought it was like, oh, maybe this is just supposed to be seen as a 3D movie. No, that was just like to more accurately represent the medium of comics, and I just am really impressed always when a risk is taken to utilize animation to its fullest extent and do things that you just physically can't do in live action mediums. I've just been very impressed by it. The story was really good. You know, we got to see a lot more sides to Peter Parker than just out of college, whatever. We got to see, you know, an older Peter Parker who's kind of fallen on his ass, which is very similar to the Spider-Man PS4 game that came out this year. It also had a lot of big names in it. Let's see, the biggest one being Nick John, not Nick, whatever the fuck his name is. He plays Nick in New Girl, that guy. He's in it. Chris Pine is in it. Oscar Isaac is in it. Nick Cage is in it. John Mulaney is in it. There's a whole bunch of other people that I just can't even remember that do a stellar job in acting. And then just, like, the blend of art styles is really pretty. And the story's well-constructed and good, too.
I will say, also, I've been digging into the soundtrack for this movie, and what I really like is when they were pitching the soundtrack for this movie, they went back and they looked at the soundtracks for the original Tobey Maguire movies, and they're like, this is a little homogenous. They really wanted to kind of mix up the sound of the Spider-Man, so they have DJ Khaled, they have... Nicki Minaj has an amazing song in this, this soundtrack, and just the music alone is really great, and then combo that with all the beautiful art stuffs and the wonderful movie that Carter's talking about, and that movie is a banger.
Yeah, it pairs really well with Black Panther like faced similar praise for all of the same things aside from all of the animation stuff that we're talking about, like, you know, the soundtrack's great, the story's great, you know, it's just a well-constructed movie.
I would also argue the same for Thor Ragnarok. Yes. Even though that was like 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like where a lot of superhero movies are going, because everybody is getting very tired of Man of Steel, of Iron Man, of Captain America, the very straightforward kind of sometimes one layer movies, that it's pushing out sometimes these really creative takes on superhero movies, starting with Thor Ragnarok, which was beautifully directed and cinematically shot, and then we get Black Panther, which was very complete in its story, and it was had a lot of layers to its emotional journey for its characters. And now we have Into the Spider-Verse, which is not only a kind of combination of those two before it, but it's also taking this other step of making a major superhero movie in animation, because a lot of times people do not take animation seriously, particularly as a movie medium.
One of the things that I've found very funny is that one of the best superhero movies that came out this year wasn't even produced by a movie studio that's known for superheroes. It's just like Into the Spider-Verse, you know, it has the Marvel logo on it. Yeah, that's just because it's Spider-Man, but it wasn't produced by Marvel Film Studios. It was produced by Sony, because Miles Morales is one of the very few superheroes that they still have the rights to for movie production. And so it feels like the funniest just slap in the face to Marvel. Like, you guys are producing these like super gritty, super not cookie cutter, but kind of boring.
They're starting to feel a little cookie cutter, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And so they took a property that, in all fairness, like, should be under the Marvel Movie Studios license, and we're just like, fuck you, we're making this shit good, and you're going to have to deal with that.
It is. It is really good, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. And I think it is definitely one of those pieces of art that is helping to put animation as more than just like a kids' Dora the Explorer kind of medium, because a lot of times that's how people look at animated movies and TV shows. But then you get things like Into the Spider-Verse and Avatar the Last Airbender, and they really take this level of animation that, Carter's right, you cannot just do with straight up real world filming, and it just takes it to another level.
Yeah, on animated stuff in Avatar the Last Airbender, I think the series started in 2018. Anybody seen Dragon?
Yes.
Prince? Yes! Oh my god, Ian and I have been recommending that forever. Please tell me you watched it.
I have watched all of it.
Yes! Yes!
It's so good. It is so good. Everybody go watch it. It's on Netflix. Like, so many people have a Netflix account right now. There's only one season of it. It's good.
So, best new animated series that is made by the people who made Avatar in 2018.
Yes.
Definitely Dragon Prince.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you or Ian want to give us, like, a premise for Dragon Prince? Because I feel like Spider-Man is kind of like, you have a general idea of what this is. Like, you have a general idea of where this is going, like what Carter was talking about. Do you guys want to give us, like, a general idea of what Dragon Prince is about?
So there are dragons, and then there's kingdoms, and one of them has a prince.
Uh-huh.
Is he a dragon?
It's very similar in structure to Avatar the Last Airbender. You have relatively young main characters who are kind of running away from home. There's magic. There's different factions who are not necessarily in agreement with each other, but the kind of main party is, you know, uniting them and on a journey.
I think that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, it's a lot more fantastical in its... It's a little more fantastical and kind of what I would say is like more like a D&D kind of setting than I would definitely say for Avatar the Last Airbender. It's pretty great, and the animation is also pretty solid, which I would say. So, yes, best new animated TV series for 2018, definitely.
I entirely forgot that that actually even came out last year. It was so
I hope it wasn't 2017.
No, I checked. It was September 2018.
You know what? Ian and I had a great conversation before this started where Ian is like, I saw nothing in 2018. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you have. You just remember literally none of it.
Well, all right, so are we going to wrap up, like, movies? What do you guys think the best movie of 2018 that you saw was?
I want to talk about one more movie real quick.
Is it the best one you saw?
Yes.
All right, there we go then.
I want to talk about Crazy Rich Asians, which is the rom-com that is taking the world by storm. It came out on August 7th, and it is the highest grossing rom-com in a decade. Like, really take that in a decade. And it is just a wonderfully shot movie. Cinematically, it is very colorful, and it is very, You don't feel like you're getting lost in these big sets that have a lot of movement and color to them, which is really nice, because sometimes that happens. Either rom-coms end up super bland and boring to look at, or they end up trying to do so much that you kind of are missing what you're supposed to be focusing on. It is also, since like the Joy Luck Club, it has one of the most majority Asian American casts, which is incredible, because not a lot of movies will have an Asian American main character or just like a best friend, but this is a majority Asian American cast. I'm like filing through the movie in my head right now, and I am trying to find like a semi main character who does not qualify in that category, and I don't think I can. But it's based on this 3-book series by Kevin Kwan, and I would definitely recommend the books. I read those. The main character is played by Constance Wu, so if you've ever seen Fresh Off the Boat, she is hilarious. She stars in that too. And it's just a really wonderful movie, because you don't just focus on this male-female relationship that the movie kind of starts you off in, but it's about all these layers of relationships with different people and how different people are kind of moving through the world together. And you don't end the movie thinking, man, why are these two people staying together? You actually feel like this is a whole, healthy, okay couple by the end of the movie. And it's just really good. It's wonderful, and it's fun, and it has a lot of comedians, but it's also got a lot of heart. So don't write it off because it's a rom-com. It's a really good movie, guys.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I can't speak to it. My girlfriend talks about it a lot, and she read the book too, and yeah, I'm sure she'll be glad to hear you. Oh yeah, she fucking loved it. It was one of her top movies of the year, I know for sure.
Didn't like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina come out last year?
Yes, it
Chilling
did.
Adventures of Sabrina came out, 2018, on October 26th. But let's wrap up movies, and then we can move on to TV shows.
All right, Ian, best movie of 2018.
Fuck, I've only seen 3 movies. And we've already said all 3.
In his life.
All right, it's Carter. We're skipping Ian. Best movie of 2018.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, dude. Easy. All right. Easy pick. Easy pick. Seems followed like by Incredibles 2. That's important,
I haven't seen like any of the movies you guys talked about, but I will talk about the movie that I didn't see a lot of movies in 2018, so I went to see Annihilation, which came out in 2018 with two of my friends. They live in Boston, and while I'm convinced that the plot line is good and it comes from a book, the movie itself sucked.
Wait, why did it suck?
Like, I could see... I'm going to tell you it's the worst movie I saw in 2018, so people are going to roast me, because some people, I could see how some people would think it's a good movie. It basically just made no sense and had no resolution. So I heard after that it was based on a book, which makes sense, because a lot of movies that are based on books make no sense. If you've never read the book, I guess. The book is Lovecraftian horror. Like, things just happen, and there's no resolution, and things are terrible, and you're scared.
It's one of the books that's actually
this,
on
like,
my list.
But the movie has this, like, half-assed resolution at the end, where, like, everything... Like, they kind of take things that are in the book and morph them and try and bring, like, a Hollywood touch at the very end, where, like, people die, and the couple gets back together, but they're not the same. Like, literally not the same, and... It had kind of cool visuals. There were a bunch of plot holes that were, like, very, very easy to see coming, and, like, I guess I can forgive them, but they were kind of shitty. Like, you know, they're like, oh, there's, like, a rainbow thing on the outside, so it's bending the light, and we can't get radio waves out because it's also bending those, and we're mutating because it's also bending our DNA. And it's like, one of these things is not like the other.
Fair.
Yeah, so the ending just, like... They like you get to like a climax of the movie where you're like, oh, maybe things will start to make sense, because it's a really creepy, weird movie and weird things happen and there's all these like people are dying and all this stuff. And then you're just like, that, I guess there's some symbolic meaning here, but also that's just kind of dumb.
Yeah, I think you're right in the sense that a lot of times people take what would be a great horror book, a great Lovecraftian kind of deep sense of horror that leaves you like walking away wondering about the world, but that doesn't always translate into the medium of film, because with books it's very easy to say like, oh man, this person is thinking this and this is what they're feeling, whereas actors have to just portray
so,
that with
as a movie. Yeah, like they actually show what's happening. I was told, and I might be misquoting it because I just talked about this after the movie, that the book is more like a journal And so, like, in the movie, the people are like, oh, I don't really remember what happened, and all the scary stuff happened. And, you know, like, people are dying in mysterious ways. I'm told that the book is more like a journal of, like, weird shit's just fucking happening. And people are like, you know, they're entering in the journal and they're like, blank doesn't remember this. Or, like, you know, the writing style is, like, very different than what you can portray as a movie. And that they try and like convey some of that stuff where they, like, leave behind videos and they're like, oh, we must have forgot all this stuff. But, yeah, it just doesn't work as well.
That sounds a lot like with an adaptation of, like, World War Z to a movie. Because, like, the book is written very much the same way. It's a collection of stories or reports about, like, the worldwide zombie apocalypse event. Whereas the movie is, hey, Brad Pitt's trying to find a cure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more accurate. That's fair. Okay. Ian, did you pick a favorite movie, or are we just going to move on?
I mean, honestly, I'm still torn just between, like, Black Panther and Deadpool 2. Like... Out of the three movies that I saw, it was Black Panther, Infinity War, and Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2 is great just because, like, it's just really lowbrow sort of humor, but at the same time, it's Ryan Reynolds, so, like, come on. Yes.
Yeah.
But then, like, Black Panther, like we've already said, has amazing songs. Like, the entire soundtrack is just perfect. But then, like, all of the characters are so well done in Black Panther that it's just... I don't know. It is by far, like... ranks up, like, ties Thor Ragnarok as, like, number one favorite Marvel movie for me.
That's fair.
All right, fair. Let's move on to a different medium, because we've got a lot of stuff to cover,
yeah,
I think.
Do
we want to do TV shows or video games?
Let's go different medium. So I guess video games. I'm going to stay out of this conversation, because, I'm gonna have some inputs, of course. But if you would like to hear my full Game of the Year sort of discussion, I had a discussion with a friend of mine over at That Nerd Dylan podcast. It's on not Spotify, SoundCloud. That's the one. We'll drop a link to it on Facebook and Twitter. Actually, I already have. You can go find it there. He'll probably promo it again, and we'll drop a link on the actual website.
Real quick, what your favorite game was, though?
Sure. Yeah. My game of the year, long story short, is God of War for the PlayStation 4. Really? I really didn't expect it to be. But I played it with
the
Express.
I'm glad that the God of War franchise has cleaned themselves up, because I was not a fan of the first few games.
Yeah, yeah, they've drawn a lot of criticism over the years for a lot of things. But God of War 4, or God of War PlayStation 4, however you want to talk about it, was a really good change of pace, both like scenery, but like storytelling, pacing. Everything was very different, and it was just a very solid all-around game for a lot of reasons. And again, if you want to hear like my full opinion on that, check out That Nerd Dylan on SoundCloud. I have a Game of the Year discussion with him about that and a lot of other stuff.
Cool.
Excellent. Then I'm going to tell you guys ready, because today I'm going to tell you about my Game of the Year, and it's called Monster Prom. Have you ever wanted to go to prom with a monster?
Not really, no.
Boy, howdy, have I got a game for you. So the way I found out about this game was one of my favorite streamers, Jesse Cox. If you ever heard of Cox Con, Cox and Crendor, the podcast, he's everywhere. He does a lot of great things, Scary Game Squad. He got into the closed beta for this game when it was still looking for funding on Kickstarter, and I watched them play it. It was hilarious. And then he, like, was talking to the devs for this game, Beautiful Glitch, and they were like, hey man, do you guys want some like help getting this like built up? And so essentially Jesse Cox became a producer for the game, and then they also added those awesome guys as publishers. And April 27th, this beautiful, beautiful Monster Prom child was born, and god damn, it's such a hilariously, beautifully animated, amazing game. Hey, did you want to go to a date with like this promiscuous, crazy, fun ghost girl? Hey, what about this kind of clueless werewolf boy? Boy, howdy, have I got a game for you. It's just so much wild and weird fun. Have any of you ever played the Yogg?
Yes.
I have not, no.
I have not either.
It is so much fun.
It is a really great game. It's kind of a choice-based game where you, based on your choices per each round, it will, kind of like a visual novel, it will determine the end result when the Yogg happens, to tell the story short. Well, the developers of this game were like, that's great, but what if we also made it a dating sim for monsters? And so you have 1 to 4 players, and you all take turns at this wacky monster high school trying to get a date for prom. It has, like, over 100 endings, and there are, like, tons of secret endings and things to unlock. And Ian has played a little bit of it with me before, but I've played it a lot with Wendy, which is a very good time. The art is super great. It's just really animated and fun and good looking, and it's just a wacky good time to play with other people. I would recommend it. It is so fun and so cute all at the same time.
What platforms is it available on?
Steam.
You can find it on Steam for about $12. I don't think they've grown beyond Steam yet. I would have to double check.
It's actually a really amusing game. It is my first time ever playing like any sort of dating sim game, because like it's not a genre I really found like an interest of mine, but at the same time, like, it was actually really fun to be like, okay, how exactly do I need to do things in here to get the like outcome that I want? And then, oh shit, this did not work out correctly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a parody of a dating sim sometimes, where you think by doing the cliched thing that you would assume would work will get you the outcome that you want, when in reality, you end up being dragged to the pits of hell because you displeased the demon boy who you were trying to romance, and you're now stuck in Tartarus forever, and that's how you miss prom.
All right. I'm going to move on then. I mean, it sounds like a fun game, but I don't think I'm going to play it, and we have a lot more content to cover, so I'm going to keep pushing us forward.
Let's keep on rolling. I love it.
All right, so I didn't play too many new games that came out this year, so I'm just going to list a couple and give some reviews and give you what I think the best of at least one category is. Of new games that I got in 2018, and I think most of them came out in 2018, there wasn't a lot. I played the new Call of Duty game, which was not my favorite and I don't think deserves game of the year.
Yep.
Although it was moderately entertaining.
It was fine for 10 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott, you're just going for all out getting roasted this episode, aren't you?
I mean, it was fine. It's not game of the year.
It was fine.
I played PUBG, which is in a different category.
Did
of
PUBG
game
fucking
of the year
come
awards
out this
as
year?
Maybe the most broken game of the year. I played a lot of Overwatch. Didn't come out this year.
Yeah,
so.
A lot of Overwatch.
Wait, what's that?
On the category of single player games, or not single player games, Nintendo Switch games, that's the only other console I have. I got Pokemon Let's Go, the Eevee edition, which is definitely up there. It's quite fun. They kept true to like the original games, but removed some of the annoying mechanics, so it feels more, I don't know, feels more easygoing, a lot less like hassle to play, I guess.
It's also so cute. I love my Eevee boy. I would do anything for him.
Yeah, it's fun to play. I don't know if I put it in Game of the Year. I got Dead Cells, which is another Nintendo Switch single player game, which is really fun, really frustrating, and it's really good for killing like 20 to 30 minutes if you just like are sitting around bored waiting for somebody to show up or waiting to leave.
And that's one of those roguelite games, right, where it's like semi permadeath.
Yeah, it's a roguelike. When you die, you go back to the very beginning. You can get some stuff that unlocks, like you unlock the ability to find better items, and sometimes you randomly start with one of them. But most of the things that transfer that let you get farther are just learning the mechanics. The thing I really like about the game is that you get like speed combos, so like if you defeat the monsters fast, you get to move faster. So it like kind of encourages you to Rambo through everything, which is really fun. You do die really quickly if you mess up though, so it's a trade-off. I got the new Smash game, which is I think really fun.
There we go.
It didn't meet my expectations of being Melee with more characters, but you can't win them all.
I think it was better than Brawl and Smash 4.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, better than Brawl, better than Smash 4. I think it's arguably the best we could have gotten, you know, given what we knew.
I think it is the best Smash game we could have gotten. But in the category of easily accessible games I want to play when people come over to my house, the game of the year in that category is definitely Overcooked 2.
Hell yeah.
Wait, what
Overcooked 2 is, I don't know, it's a cooking simulator. I try to liken it to Space Team, the game you play on phones where you shout instructions at each other. You basically it's kind of 2D
laid out. I've
never
played that one either.
You are on kind of like a 2D grid, even though it's like 3D animation. You're picking up like, say, a fish, chopping it up and serving sashimi, or you're chopping the fish, putting it with cooked rice.
Oh, it's like Cooking Mama.
And you have to deliver these orders. The orders are coming in fast. And you have to work together, usually with a teammate. And they're cutting the fish and you're boiling the rice and all this stuff. And it gets very hectic. It's very easily accessible. So, like, people who even don't play games. My roommate is, like, self-proclaimed, I'm terrible at video games. I have no hand-eye coordination. We played it. And after, like, 30 minutes, he's totally fine at playing it. I'm sure he's not, like, an expert.
Has no hand-eye coordination.
Anyways, we're not going to go there. It's a fun game. It's easily accessible. And it's also, like, pretty good if you're playing it on Switch, because it's a good four-person game. Either you're playing together or against each other and so on and so forth. And even if you're doing poorly, it's still fun. It's not like Smash, where, like, if you don't know how to play games, you just die and it's over. So, definitely great game. I encourage you to buy it. It's available on, like, every platform imaginable. Switch, PlayStation, Steam, Xbox, I think. So, yeah, came out this year. That is Overcooked 2. There was an Overcooked 1 a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I Scott brought over Overcooked 2 when he was in town and brought it over to a friend's place, and we all played it. And I had a great time playing it. You're dead on the money about it being super accessible. It's a little frustrating, but then, like, the first 5 minutes when you're, like, thrown into a situation, you don't know, like, what all the buttons are and what they do, and, like, you don't know the flow of the game. But after, like, one, maybe two rounds, you really start to get it and you start to understand, like, okay, this is what we need to do, here's, like, where my attention needs to be, things like that. And it does a really good job of, like, intuitively guiding you to those things, which is an awesome thing for a game to do, and I love that. Yeah.
I really like the cooperative kind of aspects. It's not like Smash and Mario Kart are fun kind of party style games where, you know, you're playing on the little half switch controller, you're having fun talking to people, but it's not like you get left behind and you're just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm bad at video games, guess I'm done here. Overcooked, if you play it like 2-on-2, you're forced with somebody to, like, you know, keep yourself in it, which is, I think, fun.
Shoot, it reminds me of it kind of sounds like it reminds me of Don't Stop Moving or You'll Die or something like
keep
that,
talking and nobody, like, explodes.
No,
yeah, if,
like,
you were to play that,
Move or Die. That's, yeah.
Yeah, Move or Die. Thank you.
Move or Die is so much fun.
Like, in terms of party games that are easily accessible.
Yeah. I like Overcooked. Well, let me spend a little bit more time on Overcooked, and I'm actually going to talk just, like, a brief second about Smash. I like Overcooked just because of how much talking there is. Like, I really enjoy communication in video games. Like, it's just super satisfying to, like, talk to people and get something across. It was something I really enjoyed about Rocket League, like, when like, especially when you and I were playing, Scott, like, both of us were just screaming constantly, somehow getting information across, and it would work, and, like, it was really good.
And then you started playing Overwatch.
Yeah, and then we just started screaming constantly and it didn't work. But then for Smash, one of the things I did over the holidays was I brought my Switch to see my extended family, and my cousin brought his Switch as well, and we both had, like, the docked controllers and things like that. And what we ended up doing was, like, creating a little LAN party with the Switches we bought. There was no, like, internet connection. There was no like, having to pair the systems, just, like, with the equipment that came with literally what you hold in your hand to play by yourself. You were able to play four-person Smash. And it was just, like, that. It was just so cool to be able to do that, to bring a system and, like, have a little party game where everybody's crowded around these two little screens and, like, playing Smash. It was just so cool. And like, the technology is fucking wild, everyone. Like,
the Switch is a great platform, guys.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Anyways, that's all I had to say about that. It's just, you know, those were some really interesting experiences that I had.
Ian, did you have a game of the year?
I literally looked through my entire Steam collection just now, like, while you all were talking. I did not play a single game from 2018.
Didn't you play Grease?
You played
Gris?
You played
no.
Monster Prom.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, that was the only game that I have played that came out in 2018 was Monster Prom. Like, everything else has been old games.
Didn't we all play Witchit?
Play Witchit.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Let's talk about Witchit.
Witchit came out this year.
We already had a podcast.
Yeah, we had an entire episode about Witchit.
Just go,
but shout
go
out to Witchit. Great game that came out in 2018.
I don't actually know if Witchit. It's out of beta yet, but go check it out.
Oh my God. I forgot that came out in 2018, TBH.
So let's all just be fair here. 2018 was like 10 years.
Oh, yes.
So are we done with video games? Do we want to switch mediums?
Sure. Let's hit another one.
Hey. So music this year was banging. I don't know if you guys remember, but one of the
just
most wonderful albums, one of the most wonderful albums called Pray for the Wicked by that beautiful sweet man came out this year. And I just would like to take a moment and name that as my album of the year. Spider-Verse is a close second, but it's such a good album. He churned it out in like a year, and god damn, that man can sing. Brendan Urie, we're talking to Panic at the Disco, guys.
I mean, yeah, I definitely have to agree. Like, that one for me, like, definitely also is like number one. Then again, like video games, I don't think I actually listened to anything new this year. I'm very like, I have music that I like that I have that I listen to, and that's stuff from like maybe 4 years ago.
Now don't get me wrong, I enjoy Panic. This wasn't my favorite Panic album by any means. That being said, I am going to see them in a week and a half, so like, you know, it's not to say I don't enjoy them.
But no, that's fair. Like, it's not, I don't know if it's my favorite Panic album, but I just think that the album as a whole piece of art, similar to the way that I was talking about Death of the Bachelor, is very well thought through and very well planned out in terms of what songs are first and what songs are last and what songs did you include and what songs did you tweak to go with others. I just remember that when it came out, I would listen to the album, not skipping through songs, but just from start to finish, because it felt like a really fun kind of journey. Ian and I went to go see him in concert for that album when it came out in Baltimore, and it was just really well done. Like, of course, he always plays a lot of the older songs, but just some of these newer songs to his retinue just had a lot of really great passion and heart and feeling behind them, where you felt like even though this guy is on tour and singing the same songs like every night, he still throws his all into it. And I'm just like, man, this was a wonderful 2018 brand album that came out.
Does anybody else have any music stuff before I fucking launch into my soliloquy? I'm aware.
I don't all listen right. to
Scott,
music.
Well, what, Scott, what is your cutoff like year for music?
2007.
2007? Okay. That's what I thought it was, like 2007 or 2009.
2008.
Scott. Yeah, when did I graduate from middle school?
Damn.
I'm aware.
I like how Carter answered
so 2007 seems about right.
I'm deeply aware, yes. So I listened to a lot of very fun music this year. To start off with a couple of singles that haven't yielded full albums yet, Foster the People released, I think it was Worst Night. That's a really good single that everybody should go listen to. Carly Rae Jepsen released a new single off of her next album. And I can't even remember the name of it. I feel like a dumbass. Yeah, I know. What kind of fucking fan am I? Not a good one.
Oh, that Nicki Minaj album came out this year. That was pretty good.
Yep, Nicki dropped an album this year as well. That was pretty good. Florence and the Machine dropped a stellar album this year that was just absolutely killer. Mitski dropped Be the Cowboy this year with that banger Nobody on it. If you haven't listened to Mitski, go check that album out. It's pretty good. But my I've got three albums that like I'm kind of holding as my music of the year for me. Three albums kind of together. They're not by any, like, related people. They're not, you know, they don't... Well, actually, two of them are going to be touring together next month, so they are a little related. But it is Snail Mail's new album, Lush, that came out early this year. Illuminati Hottie's new album, Kiss Your Frenemies, which I actually just got vinyl for that one in today.
Oh, yeah. I got that album on my iPod. That is... top quality.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And then Historian by Lucy Dacus, who is actually from Richmond, Virginia. She went to middle school with some of our friends and elementary school with a couple others. She's the hometown hero, and she put out a killer album this year. But the reason I kind of grouped those three together is because they're these female-led, like, alternative rock music things that are really doing some very interesting things. Snail Mail is led by Lindsay Jordan. In fact, I think it's just, you know, it's just her project, Lindsay Jordan's project, Snail Mail. She's 17, or maybe she's 18 now, but
damn,
she, it's not that I feel old. I just feel unaccomplished. Like, she's a fucking rock star at 17. Like, fuck me. That album was really good. Illuminati Hotties was a stellar band. Diana and I saw them together. Yeah, we saw them in DC.
We went to go see them at Songbird, which is a great venue if you guys get the chance to be in DC. And they were also just really great in terms of live energy. Like, I get it, man. They're from LA. They've got, like, with the touring and the time change, they got to be, like, dead tired playing every night. But they had some great energy and vibes.
Yeah, they were really good. They had, like, a Paramore feel to them, like early Paramore, if that gives anybody some scale. And then Historian by Lucy Dacus is just this really emotional album that goes through a lot of stuff. And obviously her being from Richmond, Virginia is another thing in and of itself. Me talking about Lucy Dacus is the funniest thing in the world. You know that thing where, like, you learn a word and then all of a sudden you see it literally everywhere? What's that called? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's a name for it.
There is a name for it. Yeah. But it's not important, the name of it. But essentially, like, I started listening to all this new music, this, like, alternative stuff. Like, Illuminati Hotties calls themselves Tenderpunk. I fucking love it. Thank you, Sarah Tudson, for your beautiful naming.
She is also a delight.
Yeah, she's great.
Let me just say.
She's great. Yeah, we saw them live, and then the next day I ran into the bassist for her band at the Carly Rae Jepsen concert that I went to.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah. He was cool. He's from Boston, actually.
He was so cool.
I learned about Lucy Dacus, and I didn't know she was from Richmond. So I was just, like, listening to her music, and I, like, Googled, like, her tour, and then I noticed, like, on the little wiki bio right next to it, it was, like, from Richmond, Virginia. And I was like, oh, no shit. And so I clicked on it, and it was, like, born 1994. I was like, oh, shit, I probably know someone who knows her. And then, like, I asked my girlfriend, hey, have you heard of Lucy Dacus? She's really good. You should listen to her. And she's from Richmond. She's like, oh, Lucy? I know Lucy. Her mom, or my mom's substitute teaches for her mom at the middle school. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And then, so, like, I messaged, like, our group chat for all of our friends who went to college together. I was like, hey, guys, I just started listening to Lucy Dacus. So you guys heard of her? She's from Richmond. And our friend of the show, Connor, was like, oh, Lucy? Yeah, I went to middle school with her. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then, like,
to be fair, though, and this is a proven fact, Connor knows everyone. I kid you not. Connor knows everyone.
Yeah, and I went, and, like, I was talking to my dad, and I was like, yeah, I just started listening to this new artist, Lucy Dacus. She's really good. And my dad's like, oh, I think I know her dad. What is happening to me? And, like, I'll go to I got my hair cut one time, and she was on the cover of a magazine, and I'm like, am I being fucking ghost stalked by someone who is living? What is happening to me? So yeah, anyways, I'm going to see her in February, and she's opening for Illuminati Hotties are opening for her. So those are my top three bands of the year, and you should absolutely go check them out. Lucy Dacus, Illuminati Hotties, and Snail Mail.
Excellent. Does anyone have any more music commentary before we move on?
Let's roll.
All right. I want to go to TV shows now.
Cool.
I want to talk about... We're doing real TV shows.
Didn't we already do...
All right. Shots fired across the bow of the USS Scott.
We're doing real person TV shows with real world. I want to talk about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Because that came out on Netflix this year, like Ian mentioned earlier, in October. And guys, it's great. It's based on the comics, which have the same name, and they're meant to be kind of this dark take on the Archie universe. The aesthetic is so solid, but not in a way that it, like, makes you bored of it in, like, 5 seconds in. Like, you're not over it 2 episodes later. It's just a really nice, visually pleasing kind of TV show to watch. And additionally, it's got such wild, dark humor. Like, at one point, they're talking about this this girl who goes missing, and the witch aunt, Hilda, and she's, like, talking to this guy, and she's like, I know, we've been praying to Satan every night for her to be found. And she just says it with such a casualness that it's just wildly hilarious. I think it's getting a new season, which should be coming out next year. It's, like, this year. It's coming out for, like, another 16 episodes, and believe it or not, the show was sued by the Satanic Temple over statue copyright imagery. Apparently, there was a statue in the show that the Satanic Temple was like, hey, you just, like, copied our statue, and we're not cool with this. They ended up settling, but I find it so wild that they got sued by the Satanic Temple. It's just so hilarious and delicious.
So, like, I honestly could not finish the first season of that show. Just could not get through it.
Not your cup of tea?
Like, there, I'll agree, there were parts where it's like, it had very dark humor, and, like, it had, like, very sassy, sarcastic moments, but, like, I could not get into it. Just, like, it seemed to be missing something that I really wanted. I know that they entirely, like, from where I got into the show, it was probably about maybe 7 or 8 episodes in. I almost finished the first season, but, like, Salem isn't a real character, and I'm sorry, but you cannot have Sabrina the Teenage Witch or any Sabrina story without Salem.
Hard, yes.
A sassy bisexual cat who's like a warlock that was like imprisoned or in jail for like, or being punished for crimes. Like, come on. That is by far the best and most amusing character ever.
There has been a lot of upset and a lot of fans saying, let Salem talk in season 2, 2K19.
If they do that, I might consider watching it again. But I don't know, like, to me, it didn't speak to me all that much. Like, it was amusing, and there were parts where I laughed and enjoyed it. But overall, just, I don't know, Sabrina really just kind of irritated me. She was, like, a very, very, very naive character. And it just didn't seem, like, possible, like, reasonable naivety.
I mean, that's fair. I don't know if anybody else has watched the show. I'm going to assume a hard no by the lack of other commentary. But I would recommend giving it a go. It's a fun take on, if you ever watched the original Sabrina, that was very light and sitcom-y and bouncy. And it, believe it or not, it's still a good time to watch every now and then. It's on Hulu, if you guys ever want to pick it up again. But this was just kind of a really interesting, fun take. I think the universe that they explore is very interesting, and we're all hoping that the second season stays as good, or at least as kind of like aesthetically good as the first season.
Does anyone else have any television shows that they want to talk about? I didn't like watch any new shows.
We literally do not have TV at our apartment.
I watched Letterkenny, but that is a show that's been out for a while. So I'm not going to talk about it, but it's good, y'all. It's on Hulu. Check it out.
Did anybody else have anything else they want to talk about?
I've got a handful of miscellaneous things that I can talk about.
Seamsies.
Let's go. All right. Podcast of the year, Bear Book.
All right, yes. Miscellaneous awards. Go!
Bear Book.
Are we doing podcasts that came out in 2018?
Yes.
Okay,
or
so
seasons,
yeah.
Or seasons.
Yeah, brought to the Table is the only one.
Bear Book is pretty good. I powered through that on my flight, and it's very good. I will also recommend second season of Limetown. Shit gets real. It's real good, guys. It's super spooky, and it's a good time. If you listen to the first season of Limetown, definitely pick up the second one.
Limetown is very good. I full-heartedly agree with that. Limetown is good. It's like, if you ever wanted Rabbits or Tannis to, like, actually continue, which they put out an announcement a few days ago or last week, and I haven't listened to it, but, like, it's very much a similar vein as Tannis or Rabbits or the last movie. So, like, definitely give it a listen.
And for those of you who are curious about Bear Brook, it is a true crime podcast. It's 7 episodes long. It covers 4 unidentified female murder victims that were discovered in 1985 and 2000 in Bear Brook State Park in Allenstown, New Hampshire. All of the victims were, like, partially or completely skeletonized, and, like, some of them were never identified. But it's a really good, short, easily consumable true crime podcast. And that's the way I like my true crime podcast. I don't want them to drag on. Like, Atlanta Monster also came out this year, and I didn't really like it for that very reason. It just kind of dragged on. It didn't really give me enough new information to keep me engaged.
So what I will say is that this year they are doing The Zodiac Killer, and I think they are doing a better job of not dragging through it.
All right. That's good to know. Yeah, that was my podcast of the year and Diana's podcast of the year. You know, second only to... No, just kidding. I'm not going to say we're number one. So, does anybody have any other miscellaneous categories they want to go into? I've got another one, but I don't want to do 2 in a row. Seems no. All right.
Yeah.
This one will kind of just be me talking about it. I mean, Diana and Scott will actually have some pretty good insight, but it'll be through a certain lens. So Waterdeep Dragon Heist came out this year. It is a Dungeons & Dragons campaign book. But it's not just a campaign book. It also provides setting context for the city of Waterdeep in the Forgotten Realms setting. And for people who aren't, like, super into D&D or, like, not super into, like, the lore that they've written for you, that's fine. Neither am I. It's just a really good book surrounding, like, this huge cache of gold and this chase to find it before some deep dark villain does, and there's a lot of options for players to take and things like that. You know, like Diana and Scott have played in my I've DM'd this campaign and they're playing through it, so they're sort of seeing this book through the lens of me telling it to them. So I can't say whether they think it's good or bad compared to the other stuff we've run, whether it be homebrew or pre-written or what have you. But I really like it, not just because the story feels compelling to me. It's full of, like, intrigue and a lot more role play than your standard, like, D&D, go fight this dragon. But it provides, like, interactions between people. Like, whenever somebody's introduced, it tells you who they know. You know, and, like, if you mention this person's name, then they'll say, oh, if you're talking to them, let me go talk to somebody and I'll get you more information. And you know, things like that. And there's so many threads that they've dropped into the story that I, after the book itself is done, could pick back up and run with and make my own story within this beautiful city of Waterdeep that they've constructed so well, that, like, I'm really enjoying just having this book as a place to branch off from. I don't know, Scott and Diana, what do you guys think about it so far? I know, like, again, it's through the lens of me DMing, but you're still playing it.
I've had a good time with it. I enjoy that. Even sometimes my issue with pre-written campaigns is they feel very, you must make one of three choices, and if you do not make one of three choices, you're going to be forced to make one of three choices. And I did not, maybe it's just Carter's wonderful DMing, but I do not feel as if I am being forced into a choice at any point. It feels very character-driven, which I really enjoy. I really enjoy that a lot of times it's like, well, why are you doing this? Like, what is the point? But also keep in mind, you can't just go on a killing spree and you can't just, like, solve it the old-fashioned D&D way where, hey, you know, no witnesses if nobody's alive, am I right?
Yeah, I enjoy this one a lot more than our previous campaigns in terms of the content, and that you always feel like you have a good reason to be doing it, and there's, like, there's good reasons for the constraints. Like, in D&D, you can often get away with, like, magic, or this is just the background, but I feel like there's a lot of rationale that goes into everything. But I don't necessarily, like, enjoy my character as much in this one, and I feel like where, like, the decision-making is a bit cramped, because there's so many decisions to make, and we have such a short amount of time per session. And
would
so
you say it
people,
gets overcooked?
It's like a too-many-cooks-style problem.
Okay, well, I just did, so we're good. So.
Scott decided not to be a beefy boy this time, and he's regretting it.
But yeah, so thanks for that input, guys. That nice. Yeah, it's been, I think, we actually have a couple of newer players to D&D for this campaign, and I think that it's done a pretty good job of sort of getting across all of those D&D mission archetypes. You know, like, here's your track down a person mission, here's your, well, investigate a crime mission, here's your chase down an object mission. You know, it's done a lot of that, and it's done a lot of like groundwork for letting people understand how the game works, whether it be as a player or as a DM. It really gives the DM a lot of opportunities to play. So if you're somebody who's been curious about getting into D&D and you've maybe played one or two times before and you can't find a DM, Waterdeep Dragon Heist is the perfect book for you. It is very good for new DMs. It's very good for new players. It's very well structured, and it gives you a lot of options that you're just able to take and run with.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's all that I have. I don't have any other really important things that came out this year important to me.
Yeah, I think that does it for me, too. That's all the things that I really wanted to recommend or talk about or, you know, throw a mention to.
All right, so I think that's going to be our podcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks for coming to our table.
It's all done. This is the last episode.
Yeah. Big shout out to Carrier Pigeon of the Year, Kevin. It's not our Kevin. There just happens to be a lot of Carrier
Wait,
Pigeons.
Wait, I thought
Kevin
died.
Our Kevin is a total asshole.
Kevin's with the mafia or some shit. I don't know. We need a new joke for 2019, team.
All right, become the monster, guys. What are we going to do? Oh, shoot. Become the monster. Monster prom. It fits.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to our podcast. You can find us on the web at broughttothetable.com. You can email us at broughttothetable@gmail.com. We would love to hear your culture of the year.
You can also find us in all of the cities in which we labeled in our last two episodes.
That's right. Yep. If you really wanted to find us and kill us, that's a really good place to start.
Just take us out. Dinner. You can find us. Snipers. It's all the same.
You can find us on Twitter at To The Table Pod, on Facebook and Tumblr at Brought To The Table. Send us your suggestions, your literally anything. We really would love it. We'll read it on the air pretty much regardless of what it is. So yeah, thanks for coming to our table. Goodbye. Calzones.
Calzones.